Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, my next guest is just 29 and has been living with a rare disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is pronounced EDS or abbreviated to EDS since her late teens. A talented musician, she has had to reassess her hopes and dreams in light of her challenging diagnosis. She has started a YouTube channel called Lisa's Zebra Life to share her story as a way of encouraging others who are facing life challenges. Lisa Hopper, you're very welcome to Spirit Radio. Could you tell us a little bit about your condition?
Yeah, of course. So EDS is a connective tissue disorder. So it's a collagen disorder. If you can imagine collagen as the glue that holds the body together, our glue doesn't work. Basically, that's how I describe it. So our collagen is too stretchy. Collagen is actually the most abundant protein in the whole body. So it's found everywhere. So it would be in your organs, in your skin. It would hold muscles, tendons, ligaments together. So it affects all of the body's systems. Ours is too stretchy, so everything kind of can fall out of place. So it would cause things like organ prolapses, constant joint dislocations, a lot of pain. It affects the nervous system, the heart. It would affect the digestive system. So yeah, pretty much every bodily system it will affect.
Wow, jeepers. It sounds pretty tough anyway. And I'd imagine with such a rare disease, it's quite hard to get a diagnosis, was it?
Oh yeah, really, really difficult. It's actually, it's one that's really not known very well. Often I will have gone into A&E back in the day and people won't have even really understood it, and they'd ask me to pronounce it or to spell it. They mightn't have even heard of it. I actually kind of stopped going to A&E now for dislocations and things because they happen so often now. That was more at the start. It took a good while, like a number of years to actually, from the start of symptoms, years. And then from the start of really bad symptoms, I would say about 2 years then. And it was actually, I was really lucky that I was recommended a really good physio, and she was the one who mentioned it for the first time, because she had someone a good number of years ago who had it, and my body kind of reacted the same to that person, to treatment. So she was the one who mentioned it, but we don't actually have any specialists here in Ireland at all. So to get the official diagnosis, we had to go to London. And when I went there, he was pretty shocked that I hadn't been diagnosed already, because he said I was, you know, had every single symptom going. So we got the official diagnosis there probably about two years ago now, I'd say.
And how was your experience in Ireland trying to get that diagnosis? Were people helpful, or was there just not a lot of knowledge about it?
I would say it was half and half, or maybe even less than half and half. There was a lot of people who didn't have any knowledge, unfortunately. And often you will come up against kind of almost disbelief or people questioning you, because so many of the symptoms are so rare and pretty intense that you felt like you weren't actually believed. So when you came across someone who did believe you and listen, that was like amazing. But that's a very common thing in the EDS community. And it's kind of sad, because we often feel like when you're going into any kind of medical situation, you have to be built up so much to not be believed or not listened to. You know, you're kind of ready. You're more ready to not be believed than to be believed. So when you are listened to, it's pretty amazing. I've obviously come across one or two people who have been really helpful. I personally find the best thing though is if they can actually admit the fact that there isn't the knowledge here, that's a lot more beneficial. You know, if they say, well, to be honest, I don't have the knowledge, but I can pass you on to someone who I think does, that's a lot more beneficial than even someone just saying, you know, they try and tell you they yeah.
And how it must be really tough, like day to day. How does it affect your day to day life? What do you have to do? Maybe things differently, or do you need to be in and out of hospital and things?
Yeah, it affects a lot, to be honest. And then over the last year and a half, with everything with the pandemic, everything's gotten worse, but like quite worse. Before the pandemic, I would have gone to the pool at least three times a week, because that was my only form of of, I would go for little walks and stuff, you know, but that was my only form of trying to build up some form of muscle strength, because I can't do anything like weight or anything like that. And that was kind of good for, you know, just stopping maybe my knees and stuff dislocating as often. But then because the pools have been closed and then also too dangerous really to go when they were open, I've been suffering like dislocations a lot more. I've dislocated on numerous occasions. So like my knees would dislocate, my shoulders have now joined in, my ribs, my pelvis. But this would be every day. Like this isn't just rare. You get little subluxations, which are partial dislocations. So things just pop out like constantly, you know. I mean, if I do go a little walk, I have to there stretch to get my knee back into place and things. And I would use my cane for walking, my little stick. And then I also have a mobility scooter because it's so changeable. So like one day you might be able to do a little walk for 20 minutes and kind of be okay. And then the next day you can't walk 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah,
so it kind of changes day by day. Yeah, it affects all my organs a lot. So again, I've had lots of organ prolapses. It also comes along with many other disorders. So I also have POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is a mouthful to say. And that basically is kind of, it affects your heart. So it affects the how your heart actually pumps the blood up to the top of the body. So when you go from a lying or sitting position to stay standing, your blood pools like towards the bottom of your body. So then your heart has to go really, really fast. So that's the tachycardia, but that would obviously cause weakness and dizziness and palpitations and all that kind of thing. So that in itself is quite debilitating, but then with EDS. And then I also have gastroparesis, which is a partial paralysis of the digestive system, which is not the most fun. And then I also have mast cell activation syndrome. And that would be where your mast cells kind of go a little bit mad and react to things too much. So it could be anything from heat to foods to medications. But a lot of them, it's a weird thing. There's a little trifecta with EDS where the majority of us seem to have POTS and MCAS as well. They haven't figured out why yet, but it just nearly everyone I've talked to who has EDS has those two. But yeah, the main thing, to be honest, would be my, at the moment, one of the main things is my jaw. It has been very bad over the last while. It's basically in a constant state of dislocation.
Wow.
So it's never in place. So you've got these little discs in your TMJ, the temporomandibular joint, and they kind of can move down to allow people to talk and to eat, but then they will move back up and sit in place. But mine are, it's called anteriorly displaced. So they're constantly too far down. And then all my muscles go into severe spasm to try and keep it in place. But my tissues are so weak and my ligaments are so weak that it just won't. So I have to get an operation for that.
Jeepers.
But yeah.
Wow, Lisa. lots of things, but you're really positive, your positive attitude towards, and you're a lovely person, so it's great to talk to you about it. But and it brings me on to, I believe you have a YouTube channel called Lisa's Zebra Life. Is that correct? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I started that recently. Basically, I'm a singer songwriter. I have been doing music forever. Did lots of musicals and all that in college, and I studied in the Gaiety School of Acting, and so that's been my kind of passion all along. And then obviously with everything affecting the jaw, it kind of made singing a lot harder. So I think it was probably, I had like one or two posts, but at the start of the pandemic, I decided to put a lot into my Instagram account and to try and raise awareness through that. And because I thought it was a good way to kind of, do you know the way I wouldn't have to talk as much or do as much? So I put up music when I felt a little bit better and put up lots of different posts and stuff. But it's actually just gone up over about 3,500 followers now. So
great.
That's
wow.
Amazing. I'm so happy with that. That's if you want to see that, that's Lisa Hopper _ music is the little key for that. Great. And then I always wanted to start a YouTube channel. But again, I was kind of hesitant to do with the whole jaw pain. But then when, you know, it was more recently when I found out I will be getting my operation, but it's still a number of months away, I said, I'm just going to start it. Yeah. There's no point in waiting. Well, so I started that only about 3 weeks ago, and that's linked as well on the Instagram. I kind of have everything all in one. And that's been really good because it's a great way to connect with other people with chronic illness and EDS. And I'm hoping post-surgery, if my jaw's like gets a little bit better, I'll be able to put up a lot more music. But of course, yeah, I just really want to be able to raise awareness and kind of help other people with it, because I know all the struggles. I've made friends through one of the Irish Facebook groups with a couple of people with EDS, and everyone goes through huge struggles, and you know, some of them have children who now have their own struggles as well, and because it's genetic, unfortunately it has passed on to some of their kids. And I love kids, and I think it's terrible that they're not being looked after either. So I'm kind of trying to do something to help everyone.
And as regards your mascot, the zebra, could you tell us a bit about why it's a zebra?
Yeah, for sure. So there's this thing in the medical world and in hospitals, and it's a phrase that says, if you hear horse hooves, think horses and not zebras. And basically what that means is, horses are supposed to represent the more common illnesses or disorders, like the less rare things, because they teach them, you know, if someone comes in with, I don't know, like a sore head, it might be a cold rather than something much worse, you know, look for that. But with EDS, we are rare, so we are the zebras.
Yeah, the zebras.
So we are that are rare. So yeah, zebras are a huge thing, and since I found that out, the amount of presents I've gotten with zebras on the front is amazing. So that's our little take. Also, every zebra is unique. All of their patterns are unique, so that's kind of a nice thing as well.
Nice little extra there. That's great. You really do have, you're so nice to talk to, and you're just so upbeat, which is great. What advice would you give to someone listening who has a rare disease and maybe could or has a friend or family member with a rare disease like yours, to kind of maybe give them a good outlook on life and to get what I see is a very, very upbeat, positive outlook?
Yeah, for sure. One of the major things probably at the start of it all, and as you're going through your journey, acceptance is huge. You have to learn to be able to accept that this is your, say, you know, if it could be a new thing that you've just developed or something you've always lived with, if you can accept that this is your life and this is kind of the hand that's been dealt to you, that has been hugely helpful. Because if you try and say, oh, I wish I didn't have this, or I wish that's so detrimental to yourself and to your kind of your own outlook and everything. So that was hugely important to kind of learn that. Now, obviously, you're going to have days where you feel like, oh, my God, it's too much, or it's, you know. But again, that's okay as well. It's okay to have a day where you cry. Like, that's okay. It's okay to release things. It's okay to feel like that. For friends and family of anybody with it, I just think the being supportive in the way that you just can listen to them and just believe them, that's so important. I'm very, very lucky in that I have really, really good family and really good friends who are very supportive. So that's amazing. I'd say if somebody maybe doesn't have that, because not everybody will, if you can find a support group online on Facebook, there's a lot of them for your specific illness or disability, that can be great, because you know there's people of a similar idea, they kind of understand what's going on. And then also I would say, if you have a passion, anything you love to do, put time into that. That's so important too. For me, music, like 100% is my outlet. Even if I can't sing much at the moment, listening to music, writing music, that was really, really helpful to me. So if there's something you love to do creatively, or draw, or even go for a walk out in nature, find something that's your passion and put your kind of you're all into that. That's what I say.
Lisa Hooper, thank you. Lisa Hopper, apologies. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. And if you want to follow Lisa's journey, you can go to Lisa's Zebra Life on YouTube. And you can also find her story at Lisa_Hopper_music on Instagram. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
Thanks, Amelia. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.